Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Destructo Discourse. We are
Matthew, and then I strike a Hulk Hogan pose.
And I am Aaron, and I do an arabesque, but with muscly arms to show off my biceps.
And I'm Jason, and I just hit a really strong dab real fast, just like that.
And I don't remember what Goldo's voice sounds like.
It depends on your dubbing.
But I'm Gordy, and think, you know that thing that Shinsuke Nakamura does where he hangs off the rope?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that.
That's good.
Yeow.
Imagine Goldo doing that.
And I'm Captain Tyler, and I do like that sprinkler dance that white people do.
One step above the bus driver. Not by much.
And together that makes us Destructo Discourse Sentai.
Dun, 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 dun.
Now you see the power of Destructo Discourse.
And there's like a different colored smoke explosions kind of behind us as we pose. Only we're all in separate rooms, so now I have to put a small fire behind me.
And I just do, like, constant, like, chuckling to myself, like, for the rest of this episode.
Flowers bloom around us.
Yeah, we'll put that in and post. I'm
just doing Waluigi cross chops in the corner.
Cross chops. Just... Yeah, I'm bummed nobody picked the cross chops. That would have really rounded us out, I think.
They're all fine choices, though.
Thank you all for tuning in again. This is Destructo Discourse, which is a Dragon Ball Z rewatch podcast. Every week we cover 3 episodes of Dragon Ball Z. Typically we're watching the English Funimation dub. Sometimes we're watching the subs. But this week especially, we are covering the dubs, because this week marks the episodes where the Funimation team took over for the Ocean dub on the broadcast version for American television.
Mm-hmm.
We're also into some Ginyu shit, if it wasn't obvious.
We're just really feeling it.
That part should probably be clear.
Tyler bribed us with candy beforehand.
Right.
I gave you each a choco bar to put in your chest. So, did anybody notice a change this week?
A little bit.
Boy, did I.
Yeah. A little bit of... Not necessarily... It's not a matter of quality, because I mean, you know, these actors are great, they're professionally trained, they're very talented, but just maybe an uncertainty as they get used to these roles that they've never really stepped into before, which is why, you know, even it's kind of even stranger when you're transitioning from that to the uncut version that we had been watching previous, which they had gone back in and redubbed after the series conclusion.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what's weird?
That makes sense.
I like Vegeta a lot more right now.
He was a surprising improvement, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of took steps backward during the redub.
As we noted, this the change in voices happened like the same week that the writers came up with a lot of zingers
for
those episodes.
Yeah.
Just some really good lines that are sadly delivered.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think that makes it more charming.
I wondered why everybody sounded robotic except for Vegeta.
Yeah.
Yeah. Goku's kind of delivering like Sonic Adventure sound bites in a way.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, everything must pass. Way cool.
There's nothing wrong with being good every once in a while.
Oh no!
I will say that if this is Bulma's first day on the job as the new voice for Bulma, she kind of nailed it.
Pretty stellar job.
I
loved noticed it. No difference with Bulma.
Is it the same person who did Bulma in Dragon Ball?
Funimation version, so.
So she'd already done Dragon Ball.
No.
Well, they didn't dub Dragon Ball until after they dubbed Dragon Ball Z, right?
Correct.
Or am I nuts?
Oh, they did it afterwards?
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. They tried to do it first. Like, they had a test run that did not go well. So they jumped ahead to Z because they're like, American kids are going to like the fighting a lot more.
Right.
And they were right to an extent.
Yeah.
Thus this podcast.
And some people will want to make some discourse about it.
Mm-hmm.
For the record, I would do one of these about Dragon Ball as well.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to get to the parts that I liked.
Right.
And I dragged you all along with me.
And dragged us right into HFIL.
Mm-hmm.
So, as we mentioned last week, this is also where we hit that rerun wall.
Yes.
That we, as kids, grew up and would hit over and over, and I didn't realize why that was, is because episodes 67 earlier were all Ocean Dub, so that's all that they had to work with when they were running reruns on Toonami in 1990, mid-90s, I want to say?
Somewhere around there. And they kind of had to scramble to put it together, it seems like.
A little bit.
By the fact of several of them doing most of the voices.
Right. But, obviously, Tyler,
yeah.
the Ocean Dub and the Funimation Dub are really the only two dubs of the popular show Dragon Ball Z, right?
Well,
there couldn't possibly be any more.
I mean, now that you mention it, I feel like it could be a lot worse. In fact.
However do you mean?
I don't know. That was a pretty rough reading.
I've only ever heard of the Funimation dub and this Ocean dub.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the AB group.
AB who?
This is a dub done by a production company called the AB Group, which is on the internet colloquially referred to as the Big Green dub.
Uh-huh.
And the Big Green dub is very well known for being very, very bad, both in writing and execution.
Mm-hmm.
You mean bad like cool, like our boy Piccolo? Big Green?
Not bad like Madame Acorn Squash.
Not bad like a bad chick.
But bad like Yajirobe and fighting.
Oh, that's pretty bad.
I want to say I don't recall any episodes being dubbed by the AV group, or at the very least none that made it to DVD or VHS or any recordable format.
Not around
or,
here.
Or American television.
I'm pretty sure it was only aired on Toonami in the UK, as far as I know.
Okay.
Mm.
And
the movies, however.
They only did movies and TV specials, like the Bardock special that we'll be watching.
Okay, so they only did movies and TV specials. All right.
So how would you guys like to hear a couple of samples, just so that we recognize that even though this might be a little stumbling block for the Funimation dub this week, we could have it a lot worse.
So much worse.
Sure.
Let's just reflect on what we do have and be thankful for it.
We could have some giant gorillas.
So, we're going to play a little game with these clips that I'm going to call Look Who's Talking Z.
It's about time I was allowed to have some fun. Now I'm going to teach our visitor a lesson.
I would like you guys to tell me who the fuck just said that.
Oh boy.
I've got an inkling because I've watched some YouTube compilations.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps the one that I pulled all these clips from.
No, never.
Well, my heart says this should be Gohan, but the dialogue does not fit his character.
No.
Is it... I'm trying to think of, like, context. Who would be saying... Is it Yamcha?
Getting warmer.
I've got a feeling. You're onto it, the fact that it's definitely Gohan in timber, but not in context.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with someone who's slightly taller, and I'm going to guess Krillin.
Krillin is correct.
Aww.
And then you play, like, some fanfare.
The line made me think it was not Krillin.
Yeah, Krillin is not that kind of a battle savvy boy.
Finally, I'm allowed to have some fun. Does not sound like Krillin. Krillin is
the
more
bloodthirsty
of a
Krillin.
Krillin in the name of.
This is the dub that tells the truth about Krillin.
All right, go ahead and listen to clip number two.
As far as I'm concerned, as long as he does his karate exercises, he can do what he wants.
Karate exercises?
Is that Goku?
That sounds like a Goku to me.
Is that Goku?
That's number one with a bullet, your boy Son Goku.
Son Goku!
I need to listen to this again.
That's such a heroic voice.
A strong, commanding voice of a father who knows what he's about.
A master of karate.
He's like a 1950s businessman.
Yeah, like he's gonna give a TED talk
or, like
or something.
A movie star. Yeah, like he should be having a whiskey and taking off his fedora.
I'd like a blended scotch and a senzu bean.
What the best part is, he's clearly talking about Gohan, so they've maintained the fact that he has a shitty father.
As long as he's doing karate, I don't give a fuck.
Karate exercises.
Well, and he calls it karate in this dub.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird phrasing. We're gonna hear a little bit of that in the next clip.
And you say you're the prince of the space warriors.
And you say you're the prince of the space warriors.
I mean, they're talking to Vegeta, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Is that Piccolo?
Aaron's got it again.
Damn.
Aaron is in tune with these characters.
I was gonna say, I thought you bamboozled me, and I thought you gave me Goku twice. Because they're both very commanding.
Is that just a hint of a Jewish accent I hear on Piccolo?
I've seen that too.
A little bit.
Just a little bit. It's an interesting design choice.
I feel like they say Space Warrior in lieu of Saiyan in like every instance, right?
Absolutely, mm-hmm. They do.
Yep.
And I love it.
It's pretty good.
He's the prince of the Space Warriors.
Very, very pulp sci-fi. Yes. I'm down.
Now, who did this? The Europes?
Yeah, this is a French broadcasting company.
Ah, the French.
Ah.
That explains some things.
Sacre bleu.
Go ahead and listen to clip number 4, one of my favorites.
Their power is really extraordinary. One thing is sure, they're from another world.
Oh no.
Alright, so this is a frog, right? It has to be a frog. Okay.
Could this be Roshi?
No.
No.
Aaron, I'm especially curious to hear you divine this one.
Oh my god,
since you're on such a roll.
Yeah, it's
very can't
strong.
Be Bulma.
Couldn't it?
It better the heck not be. Oh man. Is it Tien?
Oh man, it is Tien.
Holy moly.
My hero.
Yeah, I put that one in there especially for you, Matt.
I know, I learned the solar flare.
Yeah, I'm just picturing him saying the moves.
I'm just, like, what is the thought process behind that acting choice?
I'm just thinking, maybe they looked at the mouth shapes and thought it was kind of a scrunchy shape, so maybe it's really back in there.
Like,
I
this guy's got three eyes, he must sound like a psychopath.
I learned the Kikoho.
Frogs have two big eyes, so that's... I mean, about the same as three regular size eyes, right?
Sure.
All right, clip 5.
So there you are, the legendary warrior of space.
Ah, there you are.
This guy is
this
fucking
character
wasted.
Is drunk.
Yeah.
who's a big drinker on the show?
Warrior of space. Very good.
This is just Vince McMahon, right?
Aaron, if you don't get it, then I'm going to step in.
Oof.
I have a probably wrong guess.
I do remember, well, obviously it's from one of the movies. Mm-hmm. I remember it's one of the movie bad guys.
No, I only picked characters that we would all be familiar with.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you don't have my favorite line then?
No, sadly. Could not include that one.
Yeah.
We all have the ability to turn into giant gorillas.
It's not Goku again. Not refined enough for that gentleman.
No, it's not quite clear enough.
Probably not Yajirobe.
Is this Vegeta?
This is Vegeta.
What?
That's the prince of the space warriors.
Why would he be saying this?
The legendary warrior.
That is from the Broly film, where he is speaking to legendary space warrior Broly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead and listen to clip 6.
I suspected that you were behind all this trouble. When was it that we last met? 300 years ago? I know that you stop at nothing to satisfy your evil desires. And in that, I recognize the influence of your father.
That's a lot going on there.
What? My goodness.
I just love how he just keeps going.
He had a lot on his mind.
That is a Hamilton speed line.
It was vitriol in the form of a run-on sentence.
Wait.
King Kai.
I have an idea.
King Yama.
You're in the right vicinity.
Somebody's Kame. Talking to Piccolo.
It is Kami.
So, I was going to say Kami, yeah.
Going down the list of people who could be 300 years old.
Who are these old-ass men?
Yep, there's like three of them.
All right, and our final clip.
And what attack are you talking about?
You? What are you doing here?
I came to save you, thanks to a magic bean. And if you think it was easy to find that bean, you're wrong.
It's a Yajirobe.
Yeah, it's gotta be Yajirobe.
Good.
Gotta give you the power of this magic bean.
That's a choice for Yajirobe.
He's an old man.
He's really good.
He sounds ancient.
He's a grizzled old samurai warrior.
This sounds like if you personified like a 15-year-old like King Charles Cavalier.
That creates, like, if I watched Yajirobe using that voice, it would be the same effect that I got when I saw The Incredibles 2.
Uh-huh.
Because Craig T. Nelson is now just decades older than that character.
Has kind of aged in the 14 years between those films.
Yes. Like, the face is 40, the voice is 70.
Uh-huh. So all of this to say, be thankful for these voices that we have. Mm-hmm. They might be goofy, but at least they make any fucking sense.
They're done with heart.
So how about we move on to the actual episodes?
Yeah, what are we watching today?
We are watching episodes 67, 68, and 69. The sexiest episode.
The good number. The only good one we get.
Yeah.
Because we don't get a 420 episode.
Yeah, sadly we will never blaze it on this show.
No. Well, is there a season 4 episode 20? Do we do that?
I mean, we could celebrate it that way if you wanted to.
We recognize it on the calendar, but we don't put up any decorations.
Yeah. It's not even a day off from work.
So how are we consuming these episodes, this content, Tyler?
Gordy and I are watching on DVD, which means that this week we finally got to listen to some of the Bruce Faulkner score.
Yeah. Woo! This is the official, like, first Faulkner
stuff. Episode 68 is where it switches over from the fucking stock music they've been using to that synthy goodness I've been waiting for.
That crunchy synthy goodness.
It's a good shift.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of you are watching on Funimation now.
Yes.
So you have the Japanese score.
Yeah.
Which I am not complaining about.
Yeah,
I like it.
I mean, they are both good. I just have my preference.
This is fair.
Episode 67, the English title is A Legend Revealed.
The Japanese title roughly translates to Red and Blue's Lightning Ball, Jason Berter Attack Goku.
They certainly do. That is accurate.
Do they?
Correct.
I mean, they give it they give it the old college try.
In a way.
This episode begins with an unconscious raccoon ass up in the air.
After a
just the way we
recap.
All remember him.
He died as he lived.
His ass all the way out.
Ass to the sun.
And unconscious.
Goku gives Jason Berter another opportunity to just leave, but Jace calls it a lucky punch that brought down raccoon. They're still not convinced that this guy's anything to worry about. Because they keep looking at those face computers, and it keeps saying...
Yeah, the scouter says that he's weak, so...
He's got low numbers.
Like 2,000, right?
These numbers are bad. Not good.
Really struggling to learn this lesson.
Jason Berter do some fancy poses to try and intimidate Goku. He asks them, for the first time, if they want to dance or fight.
He learned this lesson from Princess Snake. It's not always fighting.
Right.
Sometimes
he's just
dancing.
He legitimately wants a clarification.
Yeah.
What exactly?
He's not taunting them.
No. The Ginyu start flying and weaving around Goku in another intimidating display, but Goku is not flinching at all. Not even moving. They keep
His
just trying to play chicken with him.
Moving so much, though.
It's just whipping around in the wind.
Is it because he took a shower the day before?
It's just got
his
a lot of body
so
to it
stiff.
Now.
Well, like, his
no,
hair's
just
so
sweat.
Stiff all the other times. Yeah, it's just sweat. It's, like,
just
it's
grease.
Freshly washed now.
It's luxurious and flowing.
It's food grease from all of the times he just dives headfirst into his dinner.
Oh, God. It really gives that hold and shine.
His own hair gel.
My heart goes out to Chi-Chi.
I love the 20 shots of just red and blue fucking flight chemtrails going on while Goku's just kind of watching. It, like there's literally like 5 or 6 layers of these like background painting, like whoosh of red and blue everywhere.
Mm-hmm. They do kind of like what my dog does when she gets really excited and starts like running around in the backyard. She's like runs right at you and then runs off in the other direction, but doesn't
Jason
actually
Berter
touch
have
you.
The zoomies.
He's got the zoomies. Frieza, I can't come into work today. I can't even say
just a terrible case of the zoomies.
I've got the zoomies then.
Or I call the zoomies, don't I?
Oh, brother.
I've got the zoomies.
Apologies to our Australian listeners for this terrible accent, both from me and from Jace.
I'm sorry.
If they're watching DBZ, they can't be that offended.
Did you guys want a quick little background brought to you by a video game manual for Jason Birder?
Yes, yeah, please. Sure. This is our last chance.
It is. It truly is. Birder, his powers originated as a child. His mother was very strict and made him do all the chores, and he would get a whacking if he was late doing any of them. So he became the fastest in the universe.
Through chores.
Yep.
What's Jace's deal?
That's
basically how Master Roshi trained Goku and Krillin.
More or less, yeah.
Kinda, yeah.
Let's see. Jace's powers originated during his childhood. He was a pitcher on Galactic Little League, and it was there that he developed the Crusher Ball as his special technique.
Galactic Little League?
Then why is it a volleyball?
Good question.
Wait, Jace was a baseball player.
Maybe when he was little, maybe the Crusher stays proportionally the same size to Jace as the baseball was to him when he was in Galactic Little League.
It really was softball sized.
Interesting.
Is there any, like, version of this timeline where Yamcha and Jace go head-to-head in baseball?
Of course there is.
Oh my god, I need that. 100%.
Absolutely.
God, they would be such best friends.
And as a bit of a factoid...
They'd be such frenemies.
Jace on the Titans.
Holy shit, they'd be like their own Goku and Vegeta.
Exactly, the Goku and Vegeta of baseball.
That's all Yamcha's ever wanted.
I'd watch a side thing. I'd watch like a whole spinoff about how like one of them is the pitcher.
It's you, for one the team, mighty the warrior is, on base.
Like the star batter.
Apparently also, Jace hails from the same race as the movie-exclusive character Salza, both hailing from planet Kula number 98. Apparently they have a rivalry with Jace. And they constantly bicker over who is the better fighter and who is better looking.
And who has the better accent.
Right.
For those of you not familiar with the character Salza, he has a very, like, French-Cajun accent.
Yeah.
That's not even Salza, though.
Nope. They went the opposite direction.
They're from Bad Accent Planet number 6.
So we get our first of many very good quotes this week. Which comes from Jace. He's getting very frustrated with Goku, so he decides,
I've had enough of this. Think it's time to throw some pain on the Barbie.
Yeah, that's the one I had to rewind.
Some what? On the what else?
Did he just?
They both start to blast at Goku, but the beams just seem to phase right through him.
Huh, weird.
Which is very weird.
Yeah.
And then we get a close-up of Goku's feet, and there are indents in the ground. Because he's just moving back and forth so fast that nobody can actually visually register it.
Yeah, Vegeta is the only one who notices this. Why are there three sets of footprints on the sand, Goku?
It's where the Kaioken carried me. Goku wails Jace right in the nose.
God, I love that.
Jace
scene.
Gets right up in his face, and Goku just throws a punch and breaks his nose.
Schoolyard
Jace
rules.
Jace reacts appropriately.
Yeah, a good squeal scream here.
He screams for a good minute.
So he punches him like right in the monologue. How rude!
It is
always
very
a sensitive spot for an anime villain.
Very sensitive.
Jace and Birder both start attacking again, but Goku deftly blocks both of them. Gordy, I think you have a card of this.
Oh, I do. Yeah, it's the Goku does a blue swift block. I don't know why it's blue, once again.
What are the effects?
Because he's blocking Birder.
But he's also blocking Jace. Maybe Birder's the bigger threat there.
Right, the blue overwhelms the red.
It stops a physical attack. Makes sense.
Yep.
and then Goku can discard a card from his hand to perform a copy of that attack for his next action.
A copy of the attack that he blocked?
I guess.
This lends credence to that theory that Saiyans can do any move they see.
Yeah,
even in the card game.
Even in the card game.
I'd also like to point out that this also base Goku got added to Dragon Ball FighterZ, mm-hmm. and this was his assist move.
Oh, nice. This block. Cool.
Really?
Goku shouts real big, and he blows them both away with a forceful shockwave.
Does it all with a big holler.
Oh, no, that's the move. I thought you were talking about that one.
Is that why I wrote down holler force?
Probably.
Okay.
Super likely.
You did question what exactly he did, because he just kind of yells, and then wind happens, and they go away.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I love what Krillin says after this. I didn't write it down, but something along the lines of, it's like he shot some kind of energy beam.
He just channeled his power into some sort of blast.
Yeah. Like, yeah,
Krillin, that's what you've been doing this whole series.
We've never seen him do that before.
You'll get there one day, Krillin.
The entire Krillin, you can do this.
Krillin is rapidly losing his training.
that guru bump is only good for so long. There's a wicked come down on that.
There's a whole button dedicated to it in DBFC. There's just a button that is beam.
That's how you make your destructo discs.
We cut over to Frieza, who is rapidly approaching Guru's place, and mm-hmm. Dende is getting very worried about where Nail is. Back over Frieza's ship, Ginyu is holding some auditions for the Ginyu Force, getting Frieza's men to try out some poses. I guess he knows Guldo's dead?
Maybe he's just hoping to replace Goldo as soon as possible.
Well, he makes a comment later about needing to get back up to 5 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or like another slot might have just opened up when he's yelling at Jace.
Yeah, there's a point where Jace hops down and Ginyu asks him, where are Raccoon and Birder? And he doesn't mention Goldo.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So he just kind of assumes, nah, Goldo didn't take this.
That game. Guy's not going to cut it.
So I think the Ginyu Force does need to be at 5, and he's just recruiting whoever is nearby. Instead of, like, waiting and drawing from a larger pool of talent to get the best candidate,
yeah.
Like, he is willing to elevate whoever is just on hand.
I got the feeling that he was just kind of, like, fucking with them. Like, this is him just having some fun.
I mean, he makes them dig.
Yeah.
The people who are on hand are Banan and Blueberry, who are both alive again, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't even change their colors or nothing. No palette swaps. It's just those guys in the background.
Just kind of chilling.
Those two guys who we both saw die.
They're Plantain and Nightshade.
they had twins who had the exact same name.
One of the grunts accidentally kicks one of the Dragon Balls while he's sort of backing up away from Ginyu.
He just kind of nudges it with his heel.
Right, bumps into it. But that is enough for Ginyu, who throws him into the distance like Team Rocket.
Blasting off again.
And he just starts beating them all to death and tossing them all into the distance.
Yeah, this is why I think he was just fucking with them.
Just wanted to kill some time somehow.
Asked Frieza, hey, which of these guys do you not care?
And he says all of them.
And Frieza said, what guys?
Yeah.
Oh, also, apparently the guy who bounced into the Dragon Balls and then got flung away, he is noted on the wiki as being one of the clones, or clone-likes, of Namol, which as we know is the not-Yamcha of the Frieza Force.
Mm-hmm.
Lieutenant Guile sent out with style.
Jace and Birder just keep trying to play chicken with Goku, who is still refusing to dodge out of the way.
Joke's on you. Chicken's my favorite food.
And I eat a lot of food.
Vegeta is just...
My name's Goku, and I love chicken.
Vegeta's off in the corner just being jealous of Goku. Like,
oh
to God. Himself.
Like, oh, yeah, he is so salty.
He's in his own head. Up his own ass. Very upset.
He's got an entire Carly Rae Jepsen album going on in there. At once.
He looks like a Saiyan enraged.
Oh, does he?
Which would raise his anger two levels.
Shit.
For what purpose? For what purpose, I couldn't tell you.
We still aren't sure if it's
just
good
cut
or bad.
To the feeling.
Yeah, I don't
anger.
Know the difference between anger levels and power level. There is a place to track the one, but not the other.
Which one do you track?
I think power level. Matt, if you ever read the rules... You can hint. I think you can track power level. I have no idea how you keep track of anger, or why you keep track of anger.
It's just a feeling, mostly.
Yeah, maybe it's just a mood.
It is time for the Purple Spiral Flash Attack.
The Purple Spiral Flash Attack?
The Purple Spiral Flash Attack.
Jason Berter, prepare for the bu-bu-bu-bu-bu-bu-bu.
Shout out their plan over Goku's head. We don't know if Goku has the power to overhear them or not.
I don't think he cares.
Right, he doesn't care.
Yeah, he's not that interested.
They prepare by spinning around each other, combining their red and blue energies, which is where the purple comes from, into like a vortex thing, and it starts blasting a ki barrage at Goku. He just yells at it, and it goes away. He's doing a lot of yelling this week.
His yell protects Rikum also.
I'd like to bring up something.
Yeah.
That I wondered while we were watching this. Is it possible that Birder's eyes are just other mouths?
I was thinking that too. Because every time his mouth is agape.
I wasn't thinking that.
All three are just pink holes. He has no pupils.
Correct.
Or like anything that lets me think that he would be able to see out of that.
Well, he doesn't have a nose, so maybe that's how he breathes.
Just through his eye mouths?
His eye nostrils.
Does he see through, like, his ears on the side of his head?
Well, what's the thing on the top? Maybe that's, like, sonar.
It's like a, yeah, like a weird fly's
maybe
eye.
Maybe it's like that light-sensitive patch that, like, snakes it's like, have.
It's like a compound eye of some kind.
Oh, this just got way worse.
This is honestly making me uncomfortable.
More or less uncomfortable than Piccolo's knees?
Slightly more.
We need to set a scale.
Jason Berter used their head walkie-talkies to make an actual plan.
Yeah, weird.
Probably
you're not
going to
shout it across at each other. Honestly, you probably could, and it
right.
still would work.
Be equally effective.
The plan being for Jace to use his signature technique, the Crusher Ball, to try and make Goku jump up out of the way so that Berter can get in a sneak attack. But when they try to do this, Goku instead just deflects the ball and winds up behind Berter before he can even make a move.
Yeah, that's a back-end special for Reflect. He doesn't leave any one frame windows open, and then he does a vanish right behind, which costs one bar of meter.
Now, I remember thinking this during the scene... If only they had shown Jace use the Crusher Ball before and, like, it was actually effective, this would have, like, been an actually cool scene.
Yeah.
But it's the first time we see the Crusher Ball and he just kind of, like, swats it away.
It ain't nothing.
Yeah, I mean, the eraser gun was interesting.
Yeah.
The eraser gun at least erased something.
Yeah.
It did.
Yeah, but the way Berter was acting, he was like, what are you doing? Why aren't you dodging it, you idiot?
It's called dodgeball.
It's gonna crush you. That's why it's called the Crusher Ball.
I wonder if it is gravity-based. And Goku's just used to that.
Ooh.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe
that
it's
would
like
be pretty
teeny,
funny.
Tiny black hole. It just sucks you right in.
Goku's like, I've fought a star before.
This is not a big deal.
I beamed my way out of a sun. I mean, it's whatever.
The narrator... leaves us at the end of this episode to wonder, has Goku become a Super Saiyan?
Has he?
I don't know.
Seems to think
well,
so.
Grown-up Gohan narrating this year's after the fact, I don't know. Has he?
Vegeta is absolutely convinced.
He's so convinced.
And he is an authority on the subject, because he's the only one who knows what the fuck it is. Has ever heard of it before.
The legendary super warrior.
So I just have to defer to him on this one.
The legendary He's... super space warrior.
Any other thoughts for 67?
I did like just how Goku said hi after he appeared behind Berter.
Yeah.
Hi there,
what up?
I'm Goku.
He's a friendly guy, if nothing else.
Episode 68, the English title is Ginyu Assault.
The Japanese title roughly translates to Direct Confrontation at Last, Captain Ginyu's Appearance.
And as we have alluded to already, this is where the switch is for the dubs. So the change in quality is in this episode.
From here on out, it's going to be a little bit clunky as these voice actors get used to these new roles with anime and how to really capture all that inflection.
Speaking of new roles, this would be the first episode for Goku being Goku, as it would be for most of the characters. But did you know that the guy who plays Goku did not audition for Goku initially?
What?
Oh.
He tried out for a different role and was kind of upset when he didn't get it because he was excited about that one and didn't actually know that Goku was the main character until later on. I was watching an interview a little while ago for the Resurrection F movie where Chris Sabat and Sean Schemmel were talking about their years on Dragon Ball Z as Goku and Vegeta.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
And Chris was the one doing the auditioning and the hiring for the voice actors at the time. And he kept trying to tell Sean, like, no, you're going to like this part. Just trust me. It's like, it's decades of work. I promise. And
I'm doing you a huge favor right now.
Sean was just like, well, I really felt like I nailed that other guy. Like, and then eventually he went on to be Goku, as we know and love him.
Right.
But would any of you like to guess who he auditioned for?
Was he a villain?
Yes.
Okay.
Was he Raditz?
No, it would have been for these episodes.
Oh, for these?
For these.
Was it
Jace?
No.
Ginyu?
Was it Captain Ginyu?
It was Captain Ginyu.
Wow.
Sean Schemmel really wanted to play Captain Ginyu and was upset when he got the role of Goku instead.
Did he just want to play a bad guy? Is that the extent of it?
Probably.
Or did he just really like Ginyu?
I would like to hear his take on Ginyu, honestly.
Considering it's like Ginyu and Goku, that is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's something we're going to tuck away for a future section of episodes.
Yeah, if we ever do cover Dragon Ball Super, it'll be pretty ironic. Considering the whole body swap nature.
So this episode begins with Goku facing off against Birder up in the sky, and Birder asks, "Who are you?" So Goku tells him,
"I'm Goku. I'm a Saiyan from Earth."
"My name is Goku, and I'm not from here."
Yeah.
"I don't live here."
"I don't live here. I'm just visiting."
Birder's just like, this is a lot to unpack. What?
Birder tries his best to punch Goku, but nah, not happening.
Not today. Yeah, it was something about here, like, Birder's like, how are you so fast and strong?
Yeah, yeah.
And Goku's like, well, I eat a lot of wholesome food.
It's pure diet.
To which Birder replies that he's going to be adding his fist to Goku's diet. And Goku's really playing it cool in this scene, but really, I think he's just trying to imagine what a sautéed blue alien hand would taste like.
He's willing to try it, for sure.
Is it okay to eat people?
I'm Goku, and I can... I'm okay with eating a thinking man.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Sentience doesn't equate humanity.
Oh, God! Oh, no. Oh, that's horrible!
Oh.
Goku has opinions.
I tried to eat Shenron once.
Jace hops in to try and help Birder with the punching situation, but nah, not him either.
No, he gives him the 1-2 Goku special.
Yeah, Goku dips out between the two of them, which causes Jace to bop Birder right in the jaw, and Birder to knee Jace in the junk.
And then the Three Stooges music plays.
Goku then whacks Birder in the back, which cracks his armor open, and then he does that signature Goku thing of flying underneath someone as they're falling and catching them before they fall.
Catching is a strong word here.
When he did that, my honest reaction was, oh, he did a Nappa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's perfected the Nappa technique.
Mm-hmm. Birder was facing downward, I think, so his back wasn't completely broken.
Goku offers one last time for them all to just leave, and at this point, Vegeta's getting pissed off that he just won't finish them off.
Vegeta has had a fucking enough.
bad enough that Goku is better than him in every way, but also he's not acting Saiyan-like at all.
Kakarot, I tried Mercy and it fucking sucked. Stop it.
Well, it sucks because Vegeta's actually got, like, some points here. He's like, they could hold your kid hostage.
They're very dangerous.
They're criminals and villains. Like, Vegeta's very in the right here, actually.
And Goku is like, well, we gave you a second chance and you're fine.
Yeah, I was honestly thinking, I could see Goku, like, he didn't say it, but you could see him thinking it. Like, yeah, but you would have done the same thing, so, like...
It did really complicate their lives, giving Vegeta that second chance.
Maybe I can make these guys piccolos, too. These can be my space piccolos.
I've got a big green. I need a big orange and a big blue.
Nice.
I'm gonna make a whole big rainbow.
Vegeta's like, can I be big blue?
You don't understand, Vegeta. This is what I do.
But Goku says, nah, you're little blue.
Aw, little blue.
He's only wearing blue.
So... Lil Blue enjoys his new title by drop kneeing Birder and full on crushing his windpipe.
Yeah.
Takes care of him. We have to see it.
Oh yeah, there is a hole.
And he disintegrates Raccoon.
Yep. Goku, upon seeing Murder, goes, "What's your deal?"
Hey, cut it out.
Hey, come on.
I was saving those.
I look how Goku wanted to give a second chance to the guy who broke his son's neck.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Before Vegeta murdered the other Ginyus, Jace called Goku one bad dude.
Yes.
And then says it's time to go, go, go. And he runs away.
I had to rewind that one, too.
Maybe Madame Acorn Squash should have wound up with Goku instead.
A bad dude? A bad chick?
It's a match made in HFIL.
House for infinite love.
Levin.
Aww.
Vegeta is concerned that Frieza's already gotten his wish, but Krillin points out that they haven't seen the sky get dark yet, or any radical lightning. So he probably hasn't summoned the dragon.
Yeah, the weather's not all fucked up yet. We're fine.
I was wondering, are the effects of summoning Shenron, are those global?
Evidently.
Yeah, it appears to be the case.
Like, it is like horizon to horizon if you're standing under it, but...
Right.
It does seem like it is, like, when they summon the Dragon Balls, there's, like, giant lightning clouds everywhere on Earth.
Goku figures that Frieza doesn't know the password to summon the dragon, which is a thing Goku knows somehow.
Yep.
How did...
Well, he did read Krillin's mind?
But
Krillin didn't know it.
Shit.
Krillin did not know it at all.
Maybe Guru tried to say something about it when he was doing the power stuff, when he was reading Krillin's mind, but Krillin was focused on the power and didn't pay attention
to what
Guru was saying in his mind.
No, well, I think Goku just, like, assumed there was a password and just happened to be right.
Well, when you train it 100 times Earth gravity, sometimes you just learn the passwords of the universe.
You just kind of unlock the secrets of creation and reality.
That's what enlightenment is.
I mean, his better muscles enabled him to read minds.
That's true.
That's true.
So maybe he just picked it out of somebody else's head.
Jace makes it back to Ginyu and fills him in that the rest of the team has been decimated. And Ginyu is very disappointed with Jace that he left his comrades behind. So he threatens to kick him off the force unless he can do a pose so good that it inspires the new recruits.
But you're forgetting...
Good priorities.
You're forgetting a very good line here.
What's that?
It is Ginyu admiring the Dragon Balls while Jace is kind of...
Oh, God!
Like, trying to blurt out what's been going on, what's happening, we need your help, oh, God.
Captain, I really need to talk to you about something.
It's what? Lovely balls.
I understand. Birder and Raccoon...
I thought you knew better than to interrupt me when I'm talking, Jace.
Which, honestly, you're one episode off from that being the appropriate line, but we still appreciate the effort, Captain Ginyu.
Prove him wrong, Jason. You can't do it. Ginyu has the new recruits dig a pit to put the Dragon Balls in.
With their future shovels.
Yeah.
One of them has panache.
Exactly one.
Yes, only yes. One.
Is every Frieza Force soldier equipped with trench shovels?
Guns like... and shovels, bro.
Yep. That's all they need.
Yes.
You know, for when you gotta make those trenches.
Uh-huh.
Guns to make bodies, shovels to bury them.
So Ginyu has been told that, told about Birder and Jace, like the others are dead. I do like how he, like when he's told the news, he kind of thinks back to them. You get that little montage.
Yeah, the good times.
Yeah, but he, like, he... poses. Yes, he just remembers them in their poses.
That's all he cares all about.
It would have been funnier if it was just, like, vague silhouettes of the poses.
Yeah. It doesn't matter who they were. He just remembers.
Which one was...
Their shape and color, that's it.
Yeah. Wait. Which one was Goldo? Was that the one that looks like a briefcase?
Maybe he needs glasses. I could
Does
see
Captain Ginyu
glasses.
Have face blindness?
He might.
And he needs the poses to tell them apart?
I'm horrible with faces and names and voices. I need you to do poses to remember.
And the silhouettes of your, like, your regular bodies.
Which one of you dabs?
You're out.
Aaron, I briefly wanted to touch on something that you brought up, which is that they have guns to make bodies and shovels to bury them.
Except they don't actually bury any of the bodies.
Well, how many times do you think Frieza Force... grunts have been on a planet where they have buried the people on it, and then Frieza just blows up the planet.
Come on!
And they're like, that was a fucking day and a half of work.
Oh, every time.
It was 10 hours!
It's just, like, paperwork that they have to do to be, like, legally sanctioned to take over and then destroy a planet. They have to give the residents a burial.
So Ginyu and Jace try to do some poses for their new members, but it just doesn't have the same flair with just the two of them.
They're like puppies separated from their litter.
So they fly off to seek vengeance.
Yeah, it looks like this milk force is just down to 2%.
I like that Ginyu is just unfazed at the news of his comrade's death until he tries to pose without them.
God damn it!
Ruined just everything!
It just doesn't work just, without them.
He's just following his basest instincts at this point.
Bulma is still on her lonesome, and she's building yet another radio.
Just to pass the time.
Is it a radio? Or is she just, like, building something?
I just assume it's a radio because she's made, like, 7 of them by this point. She has an addiction. She needs to keep her hands busy, so instead of, like, knitting or crochet like some would do to pass the time or reduce stress, she just builds radios.
She's read all of her magazines.
Radios that
7 times.
She can't get TV reception. Might as well.
I don't know why she even thought to bring that.
And they're not just radios. They're cross-planetary radios.
Yeah.
Maybe with she the built-in whatever planet they went to would have some TV.
Yeah.
You can learn a lot about a culture by their reality television.
Vegeta and Goku are working together to scan Namek for Frieza, and they realize that he's headed to Guru's place. And Krillin suddenly realizes that Frieza doesn't know that killing Guru would make the Dragon Balls not work no more.
Whoops.
And then Vegeta also realizes that is a problem.
Oh yeah, you have a good point, small Earth man.
She is like, wait, what now?
Ginyu and Jace arrive, and Ginyu is the first villain in the whole show to know that the heroes can suppress their power, and he seems to think that's obvious.
There's a reason Jace, he is the captain.
Jace is like,
clearly has no idea.
Krillin and Gohan take off to try to reclaim the Dragon Balls. Vegeta and Goku get ready to team up against Ginyu and Jace.
Oh man, this is gonna be really good. I love a good team up. The nemesis, the rivals, fighting a greater evil, back to back.
Vegeta says, I'm right behind you.
It's just like that time when Piccolo and Goku teamed up to fight Raditz.
It's just like that time.
Man, it's gonna be so good. I cannot wait for this battle. So what happens next?
Vegeta starts charging the special beam cannon.
Uh-huh.
And then he leaves.
Fucking psych!
He leaves Goku behind.
Vegeta!
Goku, just heartbroken at this betrayal, turns up to Vegeta and shouts,
Man, you dirty dog!
After the recap for next episode, he just goes, "Oh no!"
Yeah! That one was way better.
He's like, "Oh no!
Ah, beans!
Ah, shucks!
Ah, buckets!"
He's not Blue Piccolo at all.
Little Blue!
No, Little Blue!
A2 Little Blue. any other thoughts for 68?
I forget what it was that Gohan said that made Vegeta say this. I think they were they were talking about the danger posed to Guru. Gohan was saying, "Oh, he's such a great guy. He's like a grandfather or something."
He's like a grandpa.
And Vegeta says, "What world do you live in?"
That was a good line also.
It was such a genuine response. My final thought is, boy oh boy, Funimation put their best foot forward.
They tried. They're new.
It's a very good script, I think.
Yeah.
It's a very entertaining script.
Yes.
Yeah, it was. I laughed several times.
Episode 69.
Nice.
Has a very apt English title, I think, which is Incredible Force!
With an exclamation point.
Wowie.
The Japanese title is going to be a little redundant, but I hope you enjoy. It translates roughly to Awesomely Powerful! Did you see? Goku's full power.
Did you see?
It's bloody awesome.
There's power. Do you see it? It's power.
Jason, did the Japanese episode just ask us if we saw the episode that it's an episode of?
There's like a weird little section that had like the past tense of see. That was my best transliteration of it.
Well, I just mean the answer is no. I haven't watched the episode yet. You're the title.
I'm about to.
Cool Your Jets title.
Wait?
Yeah. Are you going to tell me who dies this week title?
God title? Give me a sec. Back off.
Ginyu and Goku start going toe-to-toe, and they seem pretty evenly matched. They're not really managing to do much substantial damage to one another. They're just sort of trading blows back and forth.
Yeah.
Keeping each other moving.
Finally, someone on this planet posing an actual threat to Goku.
Right.
Is Ginyu posing an actual threat, or is Goku just upset about Vegeta leaving that he's distracted?
Oh, that's a good point.
Well, we also know of Goku, and it continues to be the case going forward, that he never starts with everything he's got, ever, no matter the danger.
Right.
He always does the warm-up, just to feel people out.
Yeah.
And this fight is all punches, kicks, and fancy footwork. There's no beams or nothing.
No harm.
Ginyu does a ring around the Ajisa tree to deliver a blow.
Kicks him right in the air. Goku and Ginyu are both very much enjoying the fight, but Goku knows that he can't let it drag on for too long.
You know, what with that dirty dog Vegeta?
Oh no!
There's a sea monster non sequitur, and we see Little Blue patting himself on the back for his very smarty pants plan.
Oh, he's so proud of himself.
I'm gonna let Goku and Ginyu beat each other to death.
Vegeta calls himself a freaking genius,
a
which is probably
genius.
The most non-Vegeta thing Vegeta would ever call himself.
There's some very odd slang that makes its way. Like that. That's
Vegeta's
one.
Strong enough to cuss and say "damn," but he's not strong enough for that word.
No. I think in episode 67, Birder says "yo."
He does, and Goku says "yo" in this episode,
which is really odd.
It was the 90s, guys.
I mean, even in Japan, "yo" is a common phrase for Goku.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
There's a TV special called like "Yo, Son Goku and Friends."
It's the closest thing he's got to a catchphrase.
Yeah,
yo.
Weirdly enough,
it fits.
Yeah,
I think.
I'd prefer if his catchphrase was, "My name is Goku."
And I live here.
It's a race to find the password between Vegeta, Frieza, and the Z-Warriors now.
Mm-hmm.
And Ginyu takes a break to formally introduce himself. Of course, with a pose.
Very good.
And then Goku meets him with the exact same pose.
Yes, Goku mimics the pose and then insults it, calling it a silly waste of time.
Full on dunks on the Ginyu.
Bam! Oh,
we're dancing now. Got it. I can do this.
We're fighting and dancing.
Ginyu does not take this well.
No.
This is actually like an old school Goku moment too. Actually, now that I think about it.
Got the wrong leg up.
Yeah. Because a classic like kid Goku thing would always, he would always mimic his opponent at some point in the fight.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they were doing a pose of some kind.
Right.
Or a stance.
There's a childishness to
it. Or a move that only they could do, and he would be, oh, you mean this? And
for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
Right.
Bulma is hard at work on her radio or device, whatever it is, and she adds an entry to her digital diary.
Dear diary.
It's a pretty good entry, too.
I'm a freaking genius.
She is. She
Doesn't she remind herself to kick Goku in the knee?
In the shin.
Remind me to kill Krillin and Gohan the next time I see them and kick Goku in the shin.
His only weak spot now that he doesn't have the tail.
Yeah, right. I just remembered, like, before this, she was, like, complaining, like, well, Goku's clearly here, so is he coming to get me? Like, I've known him since he was a child, surely he wouldn't forget about me. And then it immediately cuts to Goku making, like, this very dumb face. Like, he's clearly forgotten all about her.
Forgotten something. I feel like I forgot something.
Was it the laundry?
Did I leave the espresso maker on?
No, Gohan's
no,
right there.
No, we didn't install the espresso maker. Yeah,
there was no cappuccino machine.
Yeah.
No, the Dragon Ball's over there. Okay.
Yes, she notices on the Dragon Radar that all 7 balls have been gathered together. So she decides to take advantage of somebody else's work.
Bulma, no.
Pull a bandit Yamcha.
She is sick of Namek, and she's gonna use a wish to go back to Earth.
Her wish, she decides, is to leave everyone behind.
Completely throwing the original plan out the window.
All my friends, all the dead people, the fate of the galaxy. I want to go home. Bye.
She throws double deuces to the Yamcha in the sky and says, I'm going back to Earth.
Yeah.
I can find another Dragon Ball somewhere.
He can stay dead for another year at least. Maybe forever.
Wow.
The sad feelings she felt on Earth have worn off since.
I mean, in
they've
her
been
defense,
replaced with bitterness and misery.
How long has it been? Like a couple weeks?
Probably?
I mean, at least a month.
Yeah.
No, it took like 3 months to get to Namek.
Right, the travel itself was a while.
Mm. She's had some time to work through her feelings.
Yeah,
maybe reevaluate their relationship.
I note here that Bulma takes out, I believe these are called Dino Caps, little capsule core machines, and she throws one out, and here is cool machine Toriyama likes to draw number 245, a hover bike.
It's good stuff.
He loves his compact machines.
Loves it.
Good.
And I do too.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if this decision of hers to go collect the Dragon Balls is going to get her into any kind of filler trouble.
Never.
I hope so.
Fingers crossed.
Such wonder in your voice there.
I love filler, period.
Yeah.
I love Bulma filler.
We're gonna go on an adventure.
Right.
Bulma is my hero.
Ginyu and Goku are still repelling each other's attacks pretty handily, and Goku proves to be even faster than Ginyu, which surprises him. But Goku gets distracted by Jace's Crusher Ball. The plan works this time, and Ginyu catches him in a full Nelson.
Oof.
But he doesn't seem very happy about it.
Jace is ecstatic to have helped. He is so
it's
happy.
All thanks to me, Captain.
He might have saved his spot on the Force.
He might have if he kept his mouth shut.
Doesn't he have some kind of an exclamation like, wow, Captain, what a whopper!
He does that after, like, Ginyu does some beam.
Yeah.
So Jace is very happy, but Ginyu lets go of Goku and then chastises Jace for interrupting their fight, because if we know one thing about the Ginyu Force, they hate teamwork.
Just hate it, really.
They're not about teamwork.
I rescind what I said a couple episodes ago about them being Hufflepuffs. Hufflepuffs are all about teamwork.
This seemed out of character to me for Ginyu.
Mm-hmm. It's weird, because I'm thinking the Ginyu way of teamwork is this. Ginyu is the manager. He delegates to all of the other four of the Ginyu Force. It's like the Red Ranger just kind of backing out and say, yeah, you guys take care of it. But when he gets involved, he wants it to be solo. He wants it to be mano a mano. Like, maybe he's just a really tired boss who just believes that if you want to get it done right, you have to do it yourself.
It's if the Red Ranger just wanted to go hotbox with Zordon. Just hang out in that chamber. That's what's in there, right? It's just a vape chamber?
Basically, yeah. It explains a lot about that show.
Really, it does.
Zordon was just blasting that cumulus.
And every time, like, they get hit in the chest and there's, like, that explosion, that's the rig exploding.
That's really what Tommy was doing with that dagger flute he brought to his lips. They cut away every time he exhaled the Go-Gurt scented cloud.
Back to this show.
Back to these Power Rangers.
Ginyu tells Goku to stop holding back, and that he'll never even see Frieza if he can't get through Ginyu. So Goku's like, alright. And he uses a Kaioken so good that it makes nearby planets glow.
Yeah, makes the whole solar system light up.
He doesn't have to say what he's multiplying it by.
It's a nonverbal Kaioken. He's learned the spell.
Tacit Kaioken.
We don't even get to know what it is yet.
Right. It's weird. He does this really loud holler. He powers up. His hair kind of rises up into a shape.
Yeah, it's a little weird looking.
Familiar in a way, like...
A shape?
It's not a Goku shape.
No,
not one that I'm familiar with.
Right. It's like some kind of a superb Saiyan.
This Kaioken vastly exceeds Ginyu's estimate of where Goku would cap out.
I love Ginyu's gradual reaction to Goku here.
Just to total horror.
Yeah, it starts out with him like chuckling, like
It's just a peck and
count on this
of Ginyu having a rising panic attack at the power level.
As Goku slowly reveals his perfect power.
I'm surprised that those scouters have not popped off their heads yet. They are the newest model.
The episode ends with Ginyu realizing that he did a very bad thing just now.
He
done goofed.
It was at this moment that Ginyu had realized he had done goofed it.
There's a freeze frame and Ginyu says, "Yep, that's me. You're probably wondering how I got here." Any other closing thoughts for episode 69? Clearly the sexiest episode.
I have two.
Yes.
Yeah.
One was just the extended, or felt extended, conversation between Goku and Captain Ginyu about just cutting straight to being at full power and how it'll save time.
Mm-hmm.
But they talk about it for a long time. I had it and I forgot. It was something about Vegeta. Oh! It was when
Goku... That
freaking
genius.
The friggin' genius. This was actually from last episode, but I only just remembered it now because we were talking about the power levels and counting.
numbers.
And when Goku was telling Vegeta to stop it with the not having mercy, Vegeta yelled at Goku saying, "These men have killed more men than you can count." And I just thought...
So they killed six.
That's probably true. Yeah,
what's the mileage on that?
Exactly how high. Because he said words like 10,000.
I think the highest Vegeta's ever heard Goku count so far is 4.
So they killed at least 5 men.
When he said Kaioken times 4. All right, that means it's time to hail Satan.
Woo! You know he's getting up to some shenanigans.
Yeah, we should probably check in on him this week.
Episode 69.
Oh yeah.
Just saying.
Nice.
Just a romantic getaway with Miss Pizza.
He's earned some rest.
Some R&R. Maybe we should have a vacation episode.
Oh.
But before we do that, we'll do a recap of last time, quickly.
Right.
Last time, Launch, who was in a maximum security lady prison, met up with some Dragon Ball extras who we haven't seen for a long time, such as Ranfan, who was arrested for public nudity. Mm-hmm. Hasky, who was arrested for just theft, probably grand theft of some kind. Arale, a little girl robot who is a universe-breaking character, so they threw her in prison.
Stop breaking universes.
And Faye Valentine from Cowboy Bebop, who is on the Dragon Ball planet somehow.
Known celebrity Faye Valentine. It's like a Christmas special.
It was our celebrity casting.
Right, right.
We needed some star power.
We couldn't get Regis Philbin.
What if we could, though?
She's the Robert Downey Jr. of this group.
Maybe they do just pick up Regis Philbin off screen.
Launch was being held in a vacuum-sealed glass cell, devoid of dust or anything that could make her sneeze, but the crew used Arale's flashlight eyes to cause her to sneeze, which was enough to get her to cause a prison riot, which was a great distraction for when Arale just walked through a wall and knocked it down, and the rest of them just sort of walked out behind her. So they have now rendezvoused with Bielsa Barbara, creating a crime family together, and they're planning their next big score, which is collecting the Dragon Balls.
Oops.
So this has nothing to do with Hercule himself.
Yeah. Not yet.
I do, well, this next thought.
Oh.
I feel like the farmer, when and if he hears that this group of women are looking for the Dragon Balls, I feel like he is going to have opinions about that.
Oh.
I mean, they are, like, would he know about them, having listened to the many Saiyan podcasts?
I mean, he would, yes. He would have heard about them from Raditz.
And
right.
And would he view them as some kind of alien device?
Probably.
Probably and insidious.
He wouldn't be wrong.
They are originally from Namek.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they technically are alien devices.
Like, they are from another planet, and so that... What I want is for him to also be looking for them.
Okay. That's very possible.
I want to get at least two teams of people looking for these Dragon Balls that do not exist.
Racing against each other.
Yes. Yeah. To nothing.
So he and his sidekick, Mr. Robot, set out on the same adventure.
To stop Team Girl Squad from getting the Dragon Balls.
What would his wish be? What's he got in mind?
I don't know.
It would have to be the truth, right?
To know the truth or have the truth be revealed to the
public? Right,
to
tell others or to have it for himself?
Well, he already knows the truth himself, so...
Ah, I see.
He wants everyone to know that East City was an inside job.
As was the kidnapping of Mayor Becky Hafford.
Mm-hmm. And not to trust the green children. Green-eyed children.
Beware the green-eyed children!
Hey, you know who else was a green-eyed child? Jace. Ooh. He had green
eyes.
His eyes are green.
He does, I think, yeah.
And he is an alien.
He's an alien. He was in Galactic Little League. Don't trust him.
I have an idea for a retcon for the farmer. You guys can feel free to shoot it down.
Okay.
Because we don't necessarily have to use every single idea that we come up with.
Right.
But what if the farmer, whose first name is Zenzu, what if his last name was Briefs?
Oh, shit.
The lost scion of the Briefs family.
And he was the black sheep of the family who sought a more natural life, not surrounded by science.
Would he be Dr. Briefs' brother or son?
Yeah,
or...
estranged brother.
But he may retain some affinity. Not affinity, but a knack for...
Yes, he's gifted with these gadgets, but he doesn't necessarily like that about himself.
Did he choose that life, or was it forced upon?
He chose the farmer life.
Yeah, he would have wanted to get away from the big city.
And all their money, but now he
I'm
wants,
down for this.
Now he wants the world to know the truth.
I mean, like, he has to make his move sooner or later.
Here's where I'm coming from. They both have glasses and they both smoke, so they're definitely brothers.
Yeah, that tracks.
Sure, of course.
This is definitely building up like a dichotomy, like a Dr. Light, Dr. Wily kind of thing, right? Like, am I nuts here? Like, one is the brilliant inventor, creator of modern civilization as we know it, God Emperor of the universe, etc.
And the other one made Woodman.
Yeah, yeah, right. Exactly. I made someone who was really weak to fire and being sawed in half.
I made a man into a tree.
I bred some really very pink ostriches.
Did do that. What are those ostrich things for?
Yeah, what do they do?
What is their secondary function?
Was he hoping to breed something that would be like a parrot on his shoulder to like one up Dr. Briefs with his cat?
Dang, these are all too big.
These are not shoulder birds.
Unless he has a plan to drastically enlarge himself later.
I mean,
they'd be perfect for when he's in his giant mech.
Yeah.
He puts one on his shoulder. Now you stay here, Beaky. Don't move or you'll die. He's been using them to disseminate information. They are messenger birds.
Right.
Very fast, like land speed birds. I don't know if that was it, but like their initial design or not.
Well, I mean, if he's a brief, he's probably got the smarts to kind of go with the flow. Use what you have.
Sure.
Did you know that Dr. Briefs' cat has a name and also a wiki page?
Of course it does.
Yeah, I would assume.
What's its name? And is it underwear?
No, actually. It is just Scratch.
Wait. Aww. That's adorable.
Pretty good name for a cat.
Yeah. It's not on theme.
In Japanese, it's Tama, which I don't know if that translates to Scratch or not.
All right, I'm about to take this into a direction. I don't know if you're aware, but Scratch is also a like a Southern mythology version of the devil.
That is true.
Oh, old Scratch. Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What if the farmer was in line to be the Dr. Briefs, but Dr. Briefs made a deal with the devil that
so
his
this...
brother would want to go be a farmer? And the devil inceptioned him.
Oh boy.
It's quite the twist.
So, I like this, the cat being some kind of a weird, like, walkie-talkie, like, surveillance camera from Satan.
To
not
the
Mr.
king
Satan.
Of hell.
The
right.
Satan.
Yeah. Actual Satan.
A character we'll actually meet later.
Yeah.
Not H-F-I-L.
Mm-mm.
No.
H-E-L-L.
Let's do a little bit of a vacation episode for the Satan family. I like that idea.
Oh,
I have an idea for the ending of it, but we'll get to that at the end of the vacation.
Mr. Satan is riding high. He decides it's time to take a break from his very stressful day job of being awesome and being given money for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he wants to spend some quality time with his daughter, and even more quality or time with his mistress, Miss Pizza.
Where would they go? What's their vacation destination? Do they head to the beach?
Yeah, is it just a beach ep?
I mean, I'm down with that always.
Yeah. Beach episode is good.
Yeah, I'll draw that.
What's going on over at the beach?
Soaking
up rays.
Well,
at East Beach.
Does Mr. Satan attempt to surf? Or is he more of a boogie board kind of man?
He's a boogie boarding dad.
Yeah, I would say boogie board for sure.
Yeah,
I know. I want Videl to meet Turtle.
What is Turtle doing? Is he out on an errand?
Probably the same thing as when Goku and Bulma met him.
He just got lost.
Yeah,
that's fair.
It's happened more than once.
Videl is looking for shark teeth on the beach, and she finds some tracks. Because, you know, when turtles leave tracks on land, it's because they're nesting. So she plans to find the nest and then alert the local authorities so they can mark off the next nest to preserve the species.
Of course.
But the tracks keep going.
Doing her due diligence.
And then she's like, holy shit, the turtle talks.
A talking turtle?
What a whale.
I've heard of talking dogs. Not talking
I'm
turtle.
Friends with several.
Yeah, I want to say, like, Videl has, like, a full-on, like, canine police escort to every inch of the beach.
I mean, does she have rank?
She's a detective.
Right, but, like...
But, like, detective or, like, kid detective?
She's a kid detective. They gave her a badge. But it's, like, plastic.
Okay, so she doesn't have, like, rank over any cops.
She just has rank over Miss Pizza.
Right.
Right.
As her butler.
Right.
They would probably do what she asked her to do, what she asked them to do, though. She has solved their crimes for them.
That's true.
They do owe her.
She's probably on the lookout because, like any case closed character, you're about 5 to 7 steps away from a dead body. And this is the beach, so that's where they wash up.
She's always on alert.
Mm-hmm.
Does Videl fight later? Is she a fighter? So there's a thing that I don't know if other kids do it, but like all the kids in my family when I was a kid and now like other family members' kids I've seen them do at the beach is like go out to where the waves are like kid height and just punch them.
She's doing some waterfall
training.
Did
that exact thing.
That's pretty on brand.
Yeah. Do you think she's doing that?
Probably with her friend Turtle. He's shown her some moves. Some free Roshi training.
Some Kame Sennin style.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Do you think Mr. Satan notices this and wants to step in for some coaching? I see you're doing something that would approximate a kick.
I mean, yeah, he would want dynamite. To guide this he would want to nurture this side of her, I think.
Yeah, that would probably just make him the happiest dad in the world if his kid took an interest in martial arts.
Kicking the shit out of waves is what they can connect on.
Oh, they bond! They
but
go
he
bond.
Has no idea that she's inspired by watching Krillin fight.
Right, she's gonna be like Krillin someday.
I'm as strong as Yamcha.
Aww. You have to start somewhere.
I wanna be like that three-eyed guy.
That's reasonable.
He could fly.
He had a weird voice that one time, but I don't mind.
She has a couple little kid Wolfang fists into the waves.
Wolf pup fist.
Yes.
I like her being friends with Turtle because that's something that she and Gohan can bond over also. Because they're both kid friends with Turtle.
Turtle needs friends.
Turtle does need friends.
I feel like Master Roshi is a shitty roommate.
Yeah,
he definitely is.
Eats all the vegan A's before.
He is on the bacterian sort of side of the spectrum.
Yeah,
as far as roommates go,
just replace all the garbage with just porn mags.
Oh,
yeah.
Should Turtle give her something?
A gift?
Normally it would be a Dragon Ball in this case, but well, I don't know. Where the hell is the Bancho fan?
He goes.
Is that around still?
Finds a cool shell.
Ooh.
Or maybe like a pearl?
It's a pearl that he very quickly paints a tiny like a tiny star on and presents as a Dragon Ball. This is all I really know how to reward people with for good deeds. So, you know.
I don't have magic clouds to pass out.
Yeah, yeah.
We're all out of those.
So he tells her that it's a Dragon Ball?
I like that hook.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
That fits in perfectly to my idea for the end of the vacation.
Oh.
Oh.
Let's close it out.
Well, you know, they're on the beach.
Sunsetting.
The sun
is
setting.
Night.
They're packing up their beach chairs. And
everybody's a little bit red.
Cooler. Yeah, all the sand. They've got sand all over them. And guess who shows up on the boardwalk back off of the beach? None but Bielsa Barbara and her squad come to have her
come to cause a ruckus.
Custody weekend time.
We're called the B Squad, but not because we're like second best or whatever. It's because our leader is Bielsa Barbara, and that starts with B.
We should come up with a name for their crime syndicate family.
And it's not because we're like calling ourselves bitches or anything. That's not what the B stands for.
No, yeah, get that out of your
Bielsa
head,
Barbara.
Right.
Is it just a cliffhanger?
I like it.
Aaron?
Yeah. Sounds you know what? Me. This show gives us cliffhangers. We can give the readers cliffhangers of our own. How about that?
Let's make the beach episode a two-parter.
Cut away on a shot of Videl slipping the pearl painted like a Dragon Ball into her pocket.
Sure.
What is the... What star do you think it is? Is it the Gohan?
It has
to
be
the Gohan.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course it is. He would take the time to paint 4 stars on a ball. Instead
exactly.
of just one.
Right.
It's gotta be really hard.
Turtle is meticulous like that.
And just to sort of further link things, I'll say that the reason that the crime syndicate is at the beach is because Launch knows Turtle and was gonna go press him for information on the Dragon Balls.
Oh, yeah.
And she said he's probably at a beach or something.
Yeah.
He's a turtle. We'll check the beaches.
They already checked Roshi's house and he wasn't there, so they shot up Roshi and left.
Barbara's on board, fine. Like, ah, great. We could really use a detective. My kid's a detective. Also, she's my kid.
Calling a favor. Well, Jason.
Yeah?
I think it's time to just chillax.
Can we complicate things just a little bit more?
Oh, sure. Always.
The farmer also shows up.
The other side of the beach.
He's just doing watching. Metal detecting.
He tunnels
he
out of the beach
of the
in a mech.
Like a kaiju.
I've been tracking your movements.
The Beelzebarbara's crew is going to need some kind of Voltron-like robot to fight that thing. They need to drift together.
That's true. That is true. Any final wrinkles for the plan?
That's all I got.
If I could just complicated it like slightly more, also freezes.
Yes.
Just for a minute. Then he's gone.
He was on his way to Guru's house. He got a little lost. He's like, where the fuck am I?
He's chilling out on a beach chair, sees the mech and the gang and the people, kind of looks over his sunglasses, and then leans back in the beach chair like, nah.
Also, Mark and Miss Pizza are just making out behind some rock.
Yeah, they don't even notice.
Make
they're
a point.
There.
They're oblivious to all this.
Videl was packing up the chairs in the cooler by herself. She's the adult.
Awful.
That poor child.
Turtle helped.
Turtle.
Yeah.
As best as the turtle
as much
could.
As he could. Yeah.
She
right.
loads the chairs in the cooler onto Turtle's back.
Okay, Jason.
Yeah.
Time for a chill reading.
I need to
from
cool down.
The horoscope section.
Yeah, we need to flip over. I need to calm my nerves. We've
we need
had
to take
a
look to
on.
The stars.
Pull
to
the stars. Out of the freezers.
Because as some of you guys know, that some of our characters here have canonical birthdays, which means they've got canonical zodiac signs. So what we like to do at the end of each episode is give someone a little reading. Now, the subject, or shall we say subjects for this week, don't have a canonical birthday. We had to reverse engineer one out of their debut date for their manga, which was April 24th. That would make Goldo, Raccoon, Jace, Birder, and Ginyu all Tauruses. This reading
That's
is
lucky.
For the Ginyu Force. Alright, Ginyu Force, here's the deal. Accepting the way things are, instead of the way you want them to be, is wise today. Even if every little detail doesn't quite add up, everything's gonna work out. So don't let yourself get stressed out by missing people or uncertain information. You'll get a lot more accomplished if you just accept things the way they are and work with what you have. Friends will be in there to fill in the holes and help you slap together a solution. And remember, keep smiling.
Wow. Strike a pose.
It's a powerful ending.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you all for tuning in again to another episode of Destructo Discourse. I'm very thankful for everyone who tunes in every week. Jason, whereabouts on the internet can you be found?
Well, Captain, you can... No. You can find me on both Twitter and Tumblr, and the name for both is JCAVS. That's JAYCALVES.
Gordy, how about you?
You can find me on Twitter at GordonMurphyDEV. And you can find Tyler and I on our other podcast, What the Folklore.
Aaron?
I don't do much on the internet, but in the non-internet space, I do some...
Where the normies live.
Where yeah.
In the analog zone.
Where we speak instead of tweet. I do some improv comedy in Dayton, Ohio at the Black Box Improv Theater. My group performs on Wednesdays.
And to close us out, Matt.
I am on Twitter at MonumentousMatt and any other social media as Define Prague, where you can find my art and music, etc. You can also find my illustrations of the Hell Satan comics on the Twitter, Destructo Disc.
D-I-S-C. Yeah, Destructo_Disc. You can use that Twitter to contact this show, or you can email us at destructodiscourse@gmail.com. Or if you would like to let other people know about the show, you could try rating and reviewing us on iTunes. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, please just click the 4-star button.
We request it, we demand it, we crave it.
Give us the Gohan. Thank you all for listening. This has been Destructo Discourse. We will see you next week. The road ahead you seem so cold and gray. When night never turns to day, don't you be afraid, you'll fly away. Chala, and chala, no time to hesitate. Don't want to search the earth, within it was a magic surprise. Get you through the night, oh, chala, hey, chala. No time to hesitate, gonna search the earth. Within it by the magic surprise, oh, chala, hey, chala. Be cool, don't be afraid, you got the power to get you through the darkest night, chala.
Oh, hey, I just found out, apparently, Scratch always looks at the viewer, no matter where he's positioned. So definitely a devil.
Creep. He really is Satan.
Anyway, bye!